This is Jay Sekulow. The president delivers a major address in Poland.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And above all, we value the dignity of every human life, protect the rights of every person, and share the hope of every soul to live in freedom. That is who we are. Those are the priceless ties that bind us together as nations, as allies, and as a civilization.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Just as Poland could not be broken, I declare today for the world to hear that the West will never, ever be broken. Our values will prevail. Our people will thrive. And our civilization will triumph.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, it's called the Western Civilization Speech, and the president just gave a stirring speech in Poland, historic in a lot of ways. Let me tell you what was hit, just kind of the issues. North Korea, terrorism, bureaucracy, Russia hostilities. There was also discussions about, of course, our commitment to Article 5 of the NATO Accords. All of this took place. But listen to this line. He said this, the steady creep of government bureaucracy that drains the vitality and wealth of the people. And he said, the Poles, the Polish people are very familiar with this. But again, listen to what the president said. Do we have that sound? I want to play it. Take a listen to this.
On both sides of the Atlantic, our citizens are confronted by yet another danger, one firmly within our control. This danger is invisible to some, but familiar to the Poles. The steady creep of government bureaucracy that drains the vitality and wealth of the people.
The president also cast the battle against Islam and other threats as a battle for survival of Western civilization. I think it was a great speech. I think it was an important speech and one that is going to resonate with the American people.
Yeah, I mean,
and the world, actually.
And this is, I think, the difference. President Obama, when he went to places like Berlin, was cheered. These are again, countries which are major bureaucratic. They're doing business with places like Iran and kind of, somewhat questionable leadership, and their histories are not great. President Trump goes to Poland, and they are chanting Trump in the speech that he gave right in Warsaw. And I think that is because we are now more aligned. And the idea, again, that this Russia idea, Poland, which is facing the greatest threat, they're worried about what happened after Ukraine, is putting in the missile defense system. He also reaffirmed Article 5. But, of course, none of this was good enough for the media, so he called them fake news in a press conference. And you know what?
They don't like that.
They are fake news because they always kept saying he won't affirm NATO Article 5, which is the self-defense. He said it specifically.
I'm going to play it.
Yet again, this was not good enough for the fake news media of America.
Yeah, here you go.
To those who would criticize our tough stance, I would point out that the United States has demonstrated, not merely with words, but with its actions, that we stand firmly behind Article 5, the mutual defense commitment. Words are easy, but actions are what matters. And for its own protection, and you know this, everybody knows this, everybody has to know this, Europe must do more.
So there you have it. I don't think it could be any better laid out than that, frankly. And I think that sums up exactly what if there were any hesitations on the policy with regard to NATO, that certainly answered it. Now, we're going to get into some of the other particulars when we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls as well. Phone lines are going to be open at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, on Facebook and Twitter, you can engage with us. But for our radio audience, you give us a call. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Your impressions of the speech. We've got other issues to discuss. By the way, thoughts and prayers with Steve Scalise. The reports came in last night that he's been returned to the intensive care unit and has been downgraded from fair condition to serious, and they're concerned about infection. So pray for Congressman Steve Scalise and his family. And Logan, we'll take calls and comments when we get back.
That's right. Phone lines are just opening up, 1-800-684-3110. So give us a call right now. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can join us on Facebook and Periscope. Thousands of you are already. You can get your comments in that way. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. And again, one more time, lines are available. 1-800-684-3110. Right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, we're going to go through the speech that the president just gave and kind of gives you a sense of foreign policy. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. He called out the media, too, and the media, Jordan just talked about this, the media is none too happy about being called out, and we'll get your reaction to that as well at 800-684-3110. But, Logan, you know, once you've looked at the media over the last week, you've said that, I mean, they are – CNN, a lot of these networks are in free fall right now.
Yeah, they're grasping at straws, and they're also trying to deal with their own negative press to figure out what to do. It's not unlike them to react to what the president has tweeted or said. It is very unlike them to focus all of their efforts on it. And I think what you're seeing is sort of a media meltdown because I think there was this assumption the president would come in the White House, things would change in the way they're treated and the way it's done. But if they keep treating him this way, clearly that's not how he's going to interact with them.
As a candidate, the most accessible presidential candidate, he would do every interview with the hostile, with the positive.
Right.
He would call in for interviews live. I mean, he was the most accessible. They have burned their bridges. This was not in his speech, by the way, in Warsaw to the people. This was a press conference.
Yeah,
this
questions.
Is when he takes them down by 34.
If I may, I have to ask about this. Since you started the whole wrestling video thing, what are your thoughts about what has happened since then? I mean, CNN went after you and has threatened to expose the identity of a person they said was responsible for it. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think what CNN did was unfortunate for them. As you know now, they have some pretty serious problems. They have been fake news for a long time. They've been covering me in a very dishonest way. Do you have that also, by the way, Mr. President?
The study that's been done that since the presidency, and this was reported last night because CNN is getting so much negative attention for what they've done to the person who created that it was just a joke image. I mean, it's a joke image from when President Trump was involved in a WWE event with CNN.
We say that with such we know everybody knows what WWE is.
Well, a wrestling fan. Yes. I mean, I think everybody's seen it now.
Everyone
too.
Knows the WWE.
But
everyone's a wrestling fan.
The report yesterday, 97% of the stories on CNN since he's taken the oath of office, 97% have been negative. Negative. So what do they expect? Do they think that he's going to call on his reporters? Do they think he's going to give them a lot of access? Because it's one thing to say 50%. You know, 50% negative, 50% positive, that seems kind of more like fair. Sometimes you disagree, sometimes you agree. Okay. When you're at 90%+ negative, you are making up stories. And that's why three CNN investigative reporters, the ones who are supposed to do the most research, had to all resign. They were fired. And the network is under siege. You know what someone said?
Right.
It used to be boring but trustworthy. Now it's boring and untrustworthy.
Yeah, I'm going to play. Well, let's go ahead and take a call, but I want to play a particular piece of sound in a moment. But
yeah,
let's go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, Jordan's right. A lot of people would go there for your news.
Yeah.
Just especially like during the election time and that kind of thing. Just
international events.
Yeah, international
like what
events.
What happened today? The Warsaw speech.
Because you know you'd get just good coverage of it. Even if it wasn't the most engaging, opinionated version. But that's exactly this. You're right. It's changed completely. Yeah, well, let's go to Robert in Maryland on line one. You're on the air, buddy.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Robert.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Jordan. I wanted to ask the both of you the question. Now that President Trump has given a speech over in Poland reaffirming the Article 5 of NATO and also reaffirming his support for Poland, which borders obviously Russia, and they are very concerned about a resurgent Russia because their own history with Russia, are they going to stop? Are they going to start dropping the stories about President Trump colluding with Russia personally, or are they also going to stop this stuff about Russia, let me see, hacking into our election? Are they finally going to stop that and show the fact that President Trump is not somehow in cahoots with the Russians, who are a resurgent adversary and a potential enemy of this country? And he's well aware of that, and many Americans are well aware of that.
Well, let me play. You raise a great question, Robert. Let me play, first of all, what the president said about Russia. This is number 19.
We urge Russia to cease its destabilizing activities in Ukraine and elsewhere, and its support for hostile regimes, including Syria and Iran, and to instead join the community of responsible nations in our fight against common enemies and in defense of civilization itself.
So let me break this down for you a little bit, because I think it's important what Robert raised, and that is we get transfixed in the United States on the Russia probe with the special counsel. And there hasn't been much news on that in the last week. Will they continue to try to make it news? Yeah, they will, because that's just the nature of the media. But here's what the president said. We urge Russia to cease, number one, its destabilizing activities in the Ukraine, and then he said, and elsewhere. That's number one. Number two, and its support of hostile regimes, including Syria and Iran. So he named two of the regimes that the Russians we know are in cahoots with. We wrote a book on that called Unholy Alliance. And to instead join the community of responsible nations in our fights against common enemies and in defense of civilization itself. To me, that is part of the Trump doctrine on how to deal with Russia and Russia issues right now. This is serious. Russia has been a destabilizing force. They continue to be a destabilizing force, and they are in cahoots with the Syrians and the Iranians. What they did on the election, that's a different question. I mean, were the Russians trying to hack or not trying to hack? I mean, the intelligence community, evidently President Obama knew and did nothing about it, so he didn't think it was that significant, apparently. I mean, have you thought about that? Has anyone thought about the fact that the Russian situation and their engagement in the election was supposedly known by the intelligence community and by President Obama, and they did nothing? They did zero, nothing of any significance. They kicked out some embassy workers. That was the big plan, and closed the retreat center.
Yeah, President Trump, he realized it today in the press conference. This is, again, what the media can't stand, because, oh, you can't attack President Obama, who has completely failed the world. I mean, that is why the world is in this situation with ISIS. This is why the world is in the situation with a Russia that can annex Crimea. This is why the world is in a situation where North Korea is launching ICBMs. It's all President Obama's fault. The one good thing that President Trump's been able to turn around is the economy. But he has not missed this. Take a listen to the press conference by 38.
The thing I have to mention is that Barack Obama, when he was president, found out about this in terms of if it were Russia, found out about it in August. Now, the election was in November. That's a lot of time. He did nothing about it. Why did he do nothing about it?
Well, here's why. Because he thought Hillary Clinton was going to be the president of the United States. So they did nothing about it because they thought Hillary Clinton was going to be president. And then instead, Donald Trump wins the presidency of the United States. So now we purportedly have this. We have an investigation by a special counsel on this Russia hacking and interference with the election, which really is based on information that the United States intelligence community and the president already had a year before, almost a year ago, and did nothing with it. So ask yourself this question. If the Russia hacking was so significant, although they've all testified that it didn't affect one single vote, but if it was so significant, why isn't the special counsel checking out why the Obama administration didn't do an investigation of this?
And didn't,
that may have been a way to handle it.
And didn't inform the secretaries of states. Remember, it is not the
federal, very secretary
it is not
states,
the
right.
federal government that runs the elections in each state, even for president. It is the secretaries of state. It is the state's responsibility, and they have all testified, including the secretary of state who's responsible for their organization of secretaries of state, that they were never notified about this. So, yeah, there's all this media again saying, I can't believe he would question the intelligence community around the world. Well, the intelligence community obviously failed there because they're either making it up because President Obama did nothing.
But they acknowledged they did nothing. They said they had this and they did nothing.
It was so minimal that it wasn't even worth informing the Secretary of State about.
Well, they also said there were 17. Yeah, and they also said there were 17 intelligence agencies that had this information. Then they had all correct, including CNN, AP, New York Times, and saying, no, it was four. But then even with that information, what did they do? Did they do with it? Nothing. So what does that tell you about the information? I mean, this is what I think we have to remember when we're talking about this. We want to get your reaction to this. All of this information, the speech, the reaction in the media. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, you want to take a comment?
Sure, we can take a comment. One of our Canadian viewers said it's very sad for them. This is from Demita, because unfortunately CNN is the only news channel they have. They have to turn to us because it's their only option. That's true, though. That's actually an interesting point to think about. CNN International is so big. When you travel to Europe and you travel across the country, across the world, you can get CNN everywhere.
Yeah.
In the UK, you have a Sky News, which is essentially the Fox News equivalent.
Right.
But still not quite as diverse as from what you're getting from America. CNN will still, international, still give you a version of what had America. We saw that a lot of happening with Israel, where Israel would come in and say, don't listen to what's happening on CNN International,
because
they're painting a picture that's just inaccurate. And the problem is the world was just hearing what CNN had to say about Israel. So now we have the situation where CNN International now could take over and really get their word across.
Their international programming, I will tell you, makes their domestic programming look pro-American.
Yeah,
it's basically
disgusting.
An anti-American news network. I mean, it makes
it's Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
I mean, there we go. That'll be a headline.
I'm Logan serious. That's what it feels
it's
like.
It's basically
when you watch
promoting
it.
The Islamic world.
Right. Yeah.
And half the hosts are from the Islamic world. And so the whole thing is about how great Pakistan is, how wonderful it is in the Gulf states. And again, it is painting a negative image of the United States. That would be like if the BBC was painting a negative image of the UK, except for the CNN is private. They can do these things, but you have to realize their reach in the U.S. may be on the downfall, but their reach international is basically what people see about if they turn to an American news channel. That's what they've got.
All right, so just to follow up on that, by the way, Jerusalem Post reports that UNESCO's, that's the UN's World Heritage Committee, disavowed Israel's sovereignty over the city of Jerusalem. This was approved with a vote of 10-3 abstentions. There you go. So nothing changes the United Nations. All right, we'll be back with more, including your comments at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
So at the discussion in the speech in Poland, the president did a press conference afterwards and was specifically asked by MSNBC about the Russia situation. Let me play the entire bite, and then I'm going to break it down, number 37.
Will you once and for all, yes or no, definitively say that Russia interfered in the 2016 election?
Well, I think it was Russia, and I think it could have been other people in other countries. Could have been a lot of people interfered. I said it very simply. I think it could very well have been Russia, but I think it could well have been other countries, and I won't be specific, but I think a lot of people interfere. I think it's been happening for a long time. It's been happening for many, many years.
They can't stand that answer because it's A, accurate, and B, that we know that the previous administration supposedly had the intelligence on all this and did nothing. So whether it was Russia or other countries, and the president alluded there, it may have been other countries as well. The fact is, and I think that we have to be clear, that this is a put-up. I mean, this whole, first of all, you know, I go back to this statement, and I'm going to say it again. I know this is going to create some controversy, but what is the legal definition of a violation of collusion? What does collusion mean? Is there a statute that says collusion, if there is such a thing? What is that? You mean you talk with a Russian? They you know, Russians are the president's meeting with Putin today or tomorrow. Is that collusion because they're meeting? That's not what, you know, what does that even mean in a legal definition? I don't want to be overly technical here, but there is this whole issue, the underlying issue here, and that was, what is the there? I mean, in other words, what is the legal issue that arises with this? If we knew the Russians were engaged in this and did nothing, why are we having a special counsel investigate what they did when they already knew what they did? So, I mean, if you ask yourself that question, why is to me, that's a legitimate question. As a lawyer, you have to ask. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan, or a comment.
Nancy in Buffalo, New York, on line two. And some people actually, Nancy, you're on the air, but hold on a moment. A lot of people are asking some of our international viewers online how to call in. If you have Skype or a service like that, you should be able to just straight dial up your 1-800 number. So, again, that's at 1-800-684-3110.
Oh, we'd love to hear from you.
And we'd love to hear from you. We love having our international callers to get a whole world point of view. It's the glory of being able to broadcast online. That's why we do it. So, again, Nancy, you're on the air, though, in Buffalo, New York.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thank you.
Yep.
Just a question for you. With the president just saying something about Europe has to step up more than they are,
yep,
and with the situation with North Korea and the partner for saying so madman who's running it,
yep,
what can the president do to protect us without going through all the processes that you have to go with, like a declaration of war through
Congress?
Skip
Ash, our senior counsel in charge of our military legal department, and who was a colonel in the United States Army and served in Korea, said yesterday that if there was a act of provocation or a imminent harm to the United States, you don't have to wait for a declaration of war. I mean, the fundamental, and Jordan said this as well, the fundamental obligation of the president is to protect the citizens of the United States and to protect the United States. Now, let's put in context exactly what the president said. Let me play bite number 27 for you, and then we'll give you an analysis of what that means.
Poland joins the Security Council at a very critical time. It's a critical time, frankly, for the world, because you see what's going on. Not only must we secure our nations from the threat of terrorism, but we must also confront the threat from North Korea. And that's what it is. It's a threat. And we will confront it very strongly.
So we laid out a bit of a plan yesterday, Jordan. Again, the first obligation of the president is to protect the citizens of the United States before South Korea, although they're an ally, before anybody else, is to protect the United States. Now, we do defend our allies, obviously. We've got agreements, and we've got military troops in North Korea. A military engagement in and of itself could be very damaging in the region. Now, you don't let this guy start, you know, locking off weapons. He launched an intercontinental ballistic missile. But what if it would have hit Japan? What if it would have hit a ship in the Sea of Japan? What if it would have hit one of our Navy vessels in the Sea of Japan? What do you think would happen then? I mean, this is where what the North Koreans are doing are acts of provocation.
Yeah, and what you have to realize is, okay, yes, if you took military action against North Korea and flattened it like a pancake, which you could very quickly. I mean, that doesn't mean they won't be able to respond militarily, but the difference between them launching an ICBM with a nuclear tip at Seoul, which would be catastrophic to millions, instead of small artillery at Seoul, which is all they could do right now. Those ICBMs, at this point, the intelligence has not pointed that they're capable of actually carrying the warhead, but right, they've got the ability to shoot it. If you allow them to get to that next step where that ICBM can carry the nuclear warhead, that is a bigger threat than artillery fire on Seoul. So you've got to then make that difficult decision. But as we've said, that ICBM is not just that threat to Seoul. It is a threat to the United States of America. And the President of the United States is the most powerful country in the world. His job is to protect us first. And these countries, all by the way, have our troops there to protect them. So it's not like we're just asserting ourselves for no reason. We have thousands of troops on that border.
Right. So, and look, I mean, the military engagement's the last option, but there's a famous quote, I used it yesterday, and that is Benjamin Disraeli said that diplomacy can be war. It's war without violence. And in other words, the diplomatic measures that we can put in place could be very extreme and cause significant issues for the North Koreans, especially the regime. Remember, they're starving their people already. But as Jordan said yesterday, start starving the Kim Jong-uns of the world. I mean, start taking those actions. And again, diplomacy can be war without violence, without force. And we have to remember that. Now, ultimately, if we had to use it, we could. But the fact is, that's the nature. Do you want to try to grab one more call in here before the break?
Sure, let's do line one. Let's go to Mike in Missouri on line one.
Hi, Mike, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, you had a great question, Jay. Yep. Hello, by the way.
Yep.
And I know you're limited time here, but, you know, the question is, you know, is why do they keep hammering on all this stuff when he needs to be working on, apparently, the things that you're talking about, rather than trying to deflect the negative from the side? So my question is, what are they trying to hide that they don't want him to?
Well, the media, look, I call it a media, Mike, it's a media filibuster that's going on right now. So the media keeps bringing up these things, even though in the last few days it's been fairly quiet, but they keep bringing these things up because it's effectively a media filibuster. No one's talking about the VA Accountability Act that was signed, right? We're going to talk in the latter half hour of the broadcast about what the move on healthcare, and we're going to be joined by Than Bennett and our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson. There's movement there. You know, remember the Supreme Court decision on the executive order of immigration? My goodness, that was barely a week ago. So, I mean, all of this is, all of this happens, and it's if nothing happened, but there's a lot of movement. But this is the media distracting. They're objecting to the president's policy. Look, it's a free country. They can do whatever they want, but the American people also can do what they want. And I think that's why you're seeing alternative media sources. And look, the president's able to communicate with a lot of people, an awful lot of people, in a very literally in the stroke of pressing a button and saying, here it is.
And at this point, if you're CNN and you've got Jim Acosta, and look, check out his tweets today. And I mean, they're just nasty, nasty, nasty.
What did he say?
It's just nonstop criticism of the president, everything he says. And he's mad because he doesn't get called on anymore. If you're CNN, I mean, Jim Acosta, you're either making a choice. You can have a guy who never gets called on, who just sits there and criticizes the president, or you could fire Jim Acosta and do a new White House reporter who can ask tough questions of the president of the United States, but is not the one mocking the president of the United States every time he's on camera. That's CNN's decision. And until they decide that Jim Acosta no longer is at least the White House reporter for them, they're not going to get questions asked. But they could replace him, move him to a different spot. They could fire him. I mean, he's acting inappropriate as a reporter itself. This is not what the First Amendment is about. And the president doesn't have to take any questions at all.
I mean, they could say whatever they want. Yeah. That's what the First Amendment's about. But let me tell you what else the First Amendment's about. It doesn't mean that the White House or the president has to take your question. I mean, free speech is a two-way street. And I'm a huge advocate of free speech. But let's remember what it's all about. And that's part of it. All right. Logan, we're here for another 30 minutes. First 30 minutes kind of flew by here.
That's right. You can find us broadcasting live. You don't get us in your local market or on SiriusXM, which obviously carries a full hour. You can find us on Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulo or go to ACLJ.org. Make sure you download the ACLJ app and subscribe to the Jay Sekulo Live podcast. Be right back.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
So the president spoke and gave an outdoor address in Poland, and he said that Poland is now among the most committed members of the NATO alliance. Poland has resumed its place as a leading nation of Europe that is stronghold and free. He maintained his commitment to fight hard against radical Islamic terror. He urged Russia to cease its destabilizing activities in Ukraine and elsewhere and its support for hostile regimes, including Syria and Iran, and to instead join the community of nations that are responsible. I want to play that bite for you because I want to, this is a doctrine in my view. This is, I would call this a Trump foreign policy doctrine. So let's play it and then let's break it down.
We urge Russia to cease its destabilizing activities in Ukraine and elsewhere, and its support for hostile regimes, including Syria and Iran, and to instead join the community of responsible nations in our fight against common enemies and in defense of civilization itself.
So you understand, of course, you heard the cheers in that, and that's because you're speaking in Poland, and they're on the border with Russia. But I want to break it down and get Jordan to comment. We'll take your calls also at 800-684-3110. So we urge Russia to cease its destabilizing activities in Ukraine and elsewhere. So he not only points to the destabilization of Ukraine and elsewhere, that's important, but also in its support of hostile regimes. So that's number two. And includes in those hostile regimes Syria and Iran, which is exactly what we wrote our book about, Russia, Syria, and Iran, called Unholy Alliance. And instead to join the community of responsible nations in our fight against common enemies in defense of civilization itself. That is a very powerful statement on Russia. It's a powerful statement regarding our view of our leadership in the world. And I think it's part of a Trump doctrine. And I think that needs to be extrapolated a little bit more. I'm going to have some of our people write that up into a policy statement. We'll get that up on the air tomorrow. But I think it's very, very important.
Yeah, he's not afraid at all of lumping Russia right in with Iran and Syria. I mean, that idea, again, we go back to, we haven't heard any kind of talk like that really since the Bush administration. It was President Obama who was so weak on Russia. It was President Obama who allowed Vladimir Putin to annex another country's territory and start wars. I mean, and do nothing about it. Wouldn't even, you know, remember, yeah. arm the people trying to fight back in Ukraine after they supported the overthrow of a Putin-backed government, and then they do nothing when Putin fights back, just like what happened in Egypt, just like what happened in Libya. This is all, again, President Trump developing that policy in a post-Obama disaster world, which is what the world has become. It was it's a post-Obama disaster world where Europe is facing nonstop terror attacks. And I think that the media just can't stand exactly what happened in bite number 12 when President Trump's in Poland. Take a listen.
So in order to have an impact,
bite 12.
The story of Poland is the story of a people who have never lost hope, who have never been broken, and who have never, ever forgotten who they are.
So again, this happens in Poland, and the media doesn't like it. You know why? Poland is more conservative.
Right.
They have tougher border restrictions. They haven't allowed their country to be an influx of Islamic, basically terrorists, and refugees from countries they can't vet. It's a more Christian country. He mentioned God in this speech, how they fought, you know, again, the previous pope. And again, they fought for that. That was part of their chant, actually, is that we want God when they were fighting against the communists, fighting against the Nazis. And the media doesn't like this. They'd rather go butter up to Angela Merkel, who's allowed her country to be overrun by Islamic terrorists.
All right, we're going to take more calls and more comments when we come back. Logan, let everybody know what we're going to do. And we're also talk a little bit about healthcare, but we're going to take your other calls as well.
Just one line's open right now, or two actually now. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Exclusive video coming up in the break for those watching online. So if you don't watch online, you should, because you get great content during the break.
None of your international friends called.
Well, it's difficult. Maybe they got screened out.
You never know.
Because, you know, a lot of people call. Sometimes they're off topic. Sometimes their connection's bad. I could see, obviously, you're calling online. Sometimes that happens. But 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on JSEC Live.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone taking your call at 1-800-684-3110. Harry Hutchison, our Director of Policy. Professor Hutchins, join us. We're going to talk about Obamacare in a moment and the repeal and what's happening there. But I want to take a call first, and that is we take opposing calls. Jim is calling. Logan, you want to?
Yep, in Brunswick, Maine, online too. Jim, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, sorry for holding so long. Go ahead.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you very much. Sure. I'm a Democrat. two things. One, even as a Democrat, I think when a president is on foreign soil, all Americans should support the United States.
Okay.
So that's from Nixon all the way through Obama. I disagreed with Republicans picking on Obama when he was overseas, and I disagree on people that are picking on the United States.
Right.
However, the word collusion isn't the right word, because that's not what Mueller was tasked with. He was tasked with finding if there were any links and or coordination between Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign, not collusion. So it doesn't matter if collusion is a straw man. What they really are looking at is the Campaign Reform Act of 2002.
Yeah, well, I actually litigated a portion of the campaign, McCain-Feingold, before the Supreme Court of the United States. Again, a little-known fact to the media critics out there is, what do they know about this area? I argued the case, I argued Title III of that case at the Supreme Court of the United States. That's a little-known fact.
And
190, by the way. Struck the provision down that was unconstitutional. But go ahead, Jordan, then I want to respond. Jim, I appreciate your call.
Yeah, I think where Jim is wrong again on law is that let's say again, that the Trump people were talking to the Russians all the time. Unless there was an exchange of resources between the Russians and the Trump campaign, which would be illegal to take foreign donations, which the Clintons love to do, remember? And Al Gore got in trouble with as well from taking those. It may not be good politically, but if you assume the worst there with the talking and relationship, no laws against it. Also, on the fact, again, that the fact, you know, whatever the leaks, wherever the hacks were coming from, unless they were asking for it, unless they were directing it, again, that is not collusion. That is, that's not also interfering. So I think Jim and everybody needs to understand.
You could
do this. It may be politically damaging. But unless you're exchanging money, resources, or conducting activity, that's not illegal.
So, Jim, I appreciate you calling. I appreciate the spirit of what you call. But here's the issue. The media has, of course, given this the collusion tag, right? I mean, this is – because collusion sounds like something that would be awful. They're colluding with the enemy. You know, what about when the United States took $300,000, sent it over to – or more than that – sent it over to Israel to run a campaign against Benjamin Netanyahu? Was that collusion? Was that a violation of the law? Are we supposed to be doing that? I mean, these are all questions. And we've got lawsuits on that, by the way. So, Jim, I appreciate your call. Let me ask you this. Are you concerned with because, you know, as you pointed out, I mean, the media is the one who's calling it collusion, right, Jim? I mean, the media is creating that collusion argument.
Hello?
Yeah. Did you hear what I said, Jim?
Okay. I didn't know I was still on the air.
Yeah. So the collusion, you raised the collusion, but understand, everyone's calling it collusion. But collusion in and of itself doesn't even it constitute. Let me go to Harry Hutchison on this. There's not a crime of collusion. What Jordan laid out would be potential criminal activity on any campaign if that were to happen. But speaking to somebody from another country is not collusion or violation of the law if that happened.
Absolutely. So I think the key issue is whether or not there's evidence of a crime.
Right.
There is no evidence of a crime. Unlike the Nixon investigation,
completely
we
different.
Had criminal activity. We had a break-in. There was clear evidence of obstruction of justice in covering up a crime. So I think it's incumbent on the proponents of the Russia collusion story to adduce evidence of a crime.
Well, they can't. I mean,
and they
because
can't.
So far, everybody that's been on all the talk shows, everybody that's been asked at the hearings, I mean, I want to have that for a montage of everything. I don't think we have that today. I mean, everybody's statements on, do you have evidence of Russia collusion with the campaign? No, haven't seen that, not existent, no smoking gun, no. I mean, understand, and I think this is important, that to understand when terms are talked about, there are legal requirements and legal definitions. That's part of what this is.
Yeah, and so again, it is more fake news, because this term is not a legal term of art. It is something, again, it could be politically damaging in the future, or if it came out before, which, by the way, as President Trump said, if they really believed that, you don't think President Obama would have said that the Trump campaign was working with the Russian government
to
beat Hillary Clinton?
Of course they would have.
But they said nothing about Russia being involved, because I don't even know how much evidence there is for that.
Right.
None of us have seen that.
But the president knew, President
Neither
Obama knew that,
the
and they did nothing. They closed an embassy for a couple of days and said, your retreat center in northern Virginia, well, we want you to clear out of that for a week.
Yeah,
that was nothing.
And most of those are our KGB, like FSB facilities, so it's not, and we know that. So those were not the toughest of toughest actions. The Obama administration let Russia get away with murder, literally. I mean, in the Ukraine. They let them get away with murder. They let them annex a country's territory and did nothing about it as a NATO leader. And they talk about President Trump not honoring Article 5.
Right. Yeah, right. All right, Logan, you want to take another call or want to take a comment?
Let's go ahead and take a call. Some people have been holding a long time. Let's go to Mike in Tennessee on line 3.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I'd like to say great job y'all are doing.
Thank you.
I watch y'all every day.
Appreciate
I listen to y'all while I work on the line at GM.
Oh, great.
The question is, does China and Russia, are they going to stand by North Korea? Should we go into a conflict? And if we do go into a conflict and they stand by them, are we going to be able to defend ourselves?
Well, our military is stronger than any of those. And you raise a great question, Mike. And first is, I don't think it's going to come to military action. You can't take it off the table. And the president and the staff said nothing's off the table. Here's what's happening. Nikki Haley said this at the UN yesterday. Listen to what she said here. This is very important. This was at the UN Security Council.
There are countries that are allowing, even encouraging, trade with North Korea in violation of UN Security Council resolutions. Such countries would also like to continue their trade arrangements with the United States. That's not going to happen.
And Jordan brings up a really good point, and this is true historically. The Russian and the Chinese, when pushed, end up not backing these regimes.
No, they let Saddam Hussein hang. Remember, they were working close with that government. They let them get overthrown. They didn't fight back. They didn't put planes in the sky. Even with Assad, if we took more action there, they'd pull out. They pull out because they're not going to risk a direct confrontation
with the
U.S. So
we hold the cards in this whole situation.
Because Russia and China, unlike the United States, will do business with these countries and prop up their dictators, but they're not their friends. Once they're no longer valuable to them, so if the U.S. is bombing their country and they have no more money to spend, they're done with them. They don't go in to save them. And Cuba's even another example of that.
Yeah.
They finally cut that off. They don't continue to prop up these regimes when they are no longer helpful to them. They're not the U.S.
Harry, there's no loyalty among the Russians and these other regimes. It's the expedience for the Russians or the
Absolutely.
Chinese. It's not a loyalty situation.
Both of those countries put their own self-interest ahead of any other game in town. And I think the United States can place sanctions and perhaps label, for instance, China as a currency manipulator in order to put pressure on China to work with us in defeating North Korea.
Yeah, so I think, look, I think there's a lot of diplomatic, but if they keep launching ICBMs and they end up hitting a U.S. naval vessel, all bets would be off. I mean, that would be at that point. I mean, and let me tell you what the Russian and the Chinese will do. Nothing. They will not come to North Korea. You think they'd come to North Korea's aid? Why would they do that?
No way they would come to North Korea's aid.
If it hit one of our ships?
They would complain.
In international waters?
But, I mean, again, all they would do is protect their own borders by making sure the North Koreans weren't flooding over into their territories.
Yeah. Logan, what are we seeing online on all of this? I want to get into a little bit of the Obamacare rollback and where that is in a moment here. But what are we seeing? We'll take a break in a minute.
Yeah. I mean, there's a large – I mean, we're talking about so many topics. So a lot of people are talking about different things. People are asking about President Obama. Why is he still acting like a sitting president? That's from Wendy.
Well, we got this call. Why don't we take Debbie's call? She's been holding.
All right, Debbie in Beaumont, Texas on line
five. Kind of ties right into that.
Yep, that's what we're doing.
Hey, Debbie.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning. Yep. Thank you for all you do. My question is, with Obama visiting internationally, does the Logan Act apply to his interfering?
I mean, no, because it's not interference. He's not to violate the Logan Act. You have to. There's a level of engagement you have. A former president can go over and speak their mind on policy issues and
he's
all of this.
He's not a government official.
He's not a government official, so it doesn't work that way. But let me say this. President Obama is exercising his rights to speak on these issues. President Trump is responding. I mean, this is a president that's not afraid to bring up the previous administration. Generally, that was, you know, not done. This one's, Harry, he's doing it differently. He's calling it out. Let's play that bite. Let's have it ready. Go ahead, Harry.
President Trump is a counterpuncher.
Yep.
And yes, Obama has tried to lay the first punch, but President Obama will receive a direct and clear response, and that will be an ongoing response from President Trump.
I mean, this is where it's different. You got a different kind of guy with President Trump. Here you go, number 38.
The thing I have to mention is that Barack Obama, when he was president, found out about this in terms of if it were Russia, found out about it in August. Now, the election was in November. That's a lot of time. He did nothing about it. Why did he do nothing about it?
So this is a guy that counterpunches. I mean, he does.
Yeah, and I think that the press just can't stand because they loved President Obama, even though he was not accessible to them, barely did any interviews, barely did any press conferences, and his reporters, his press secretaries, they were never telling the truth. His attorney generals weren't telling the truth. They weren't sharing documents with the press, but they still loved him because he was a liberal, and they're all liberals.
Right. All right, we're taking a break. We're going to take calls when we come back. Last segment, you can ask us anything.
That's right. We cleared a lot of lines, too, so this is your time to get on the air. 1-800-684-3110. Call us right now.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Last segment, you get to ask us anything. We're going to go right to the phones because you all have been holding. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. Let's go in order of those who've been calling in. Dave's in Chicago, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, sir.
Good. Yeah, so I was just following up on all this media filibuster, if you will, and everything that they're trying to
right.
do. One thing that you have to think about is getting back to, what did Hillary actually do? I mean, what happened here? You know, she didn't campaign in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania.
Well, she lost the election because she lost the – yes, I mean, she lost the election because she didn't run a good campaign. I mean, the Russians did not impact her election of whether she won or lost or not. She did not run an effective campaign.
I think if she ran today, if the election was held today, I think it would be even a bigger margin.
Donald Trump.
Right, for Donald Trump. I think a lot of people now would see the policies. Oh, yeah, I kind of agree. That's the one thing they can't get across, which is why they're so focused on the tweets and all of that, is policy-wise, it's all good. Economy's up. Everything's going well. But they can attack him on personal issues or tweets.
And they also have no leader. Terry McAuliffe, again, was pushed on this, the governor of Virginia. He can't – no one will respond. The Democrats literally at this point in time, and this is far off from the next presidential election, at this point in time, I worked on three presidential campaigns and a host of others, winning and losing. They don't have a single candidate who could beat Donald Trump if the election were held in a month from now. Not a single person in their party could resonate. And you know the best example of that? The four special elections where, again, they spent triple and quadruple the amounts of money and got demolished every single time. It's a DNC. It's a Democrat party led by a guy who is using profanity at every speech. Now, supposedly the Democrats have said, we're going to finally put out an economic message, because they have realized that running against Trump does not work, which means, by the way, like on the travel ban issue, you know that's now up to a 60%+ approval?
Well, because now that people realize what it actually is.
It was okay.
Yeah, the Supreme Court gave it its imprimatur.
You see the effect of that. When the courts say it's bad, you know, that people get nervous. When the top court says it's okay.
Yeah, big one, like I said, it's kind of got lost. All right, Than Bennett's with us. We don't have him on video, by the way, for Facebook and Periscope because we're renovating those studios. But I want to ask this to Than and to Harry, and then we'll grab as many calls as we can. So, Than, Senator Cruz has put forward a proposal. Where are we on the Obamacare repeal, health care reform? Where are we right now?
Well, they're trying to get to 50 votes, Jay, and they're having a hard time doing it. The proposal that you're talking about from Senator Cruz is an effort to try to bridge that divide. Without getting too deep into the weeds, it is basically a proposal that would say, as long as an insurance company provides at least or offers at least one plan that would meet the requirements under the regulations of Obamacare, then they can offer any plan available. Jay, it's an effort to try to appease both Mike Lee and Susan Collins and that entire gap. That has been sent to CBO. Jay, they do not have 50 votes on either that proposal or the other one. Hopefully they will get there.
Do you think we get there?
At this point, they're not there. But I would tell you this. This proposal from Senator Cruz, I think, is the best chance. I think actually the evidence of that is the attacks that you're seeing from the moderates. They know that Senator Cruz has offered them some things that they want in this proposal. We'll see if it gets over the line.
Harry, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a hopeful development. Jay, as you know, at the ACLJ, we have consistently advocated the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. We have suggested dismantling Obamacare on day one. We have consistently criticized Republican inaction. Yesterday, Jason Chaffetz, the former congressman, channeled Jordan Seculo in attacking the Republicans for their inaction. And so I think the Ted Cruz proposal is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's got, it's got that endorsement from the House Freedom Caucus. So you've got that block would be okay with it. It's then, the moderates, but all it's really doing is giving people the two choices. You want to stay on those really expensive plans that you have to require all of these things, fine.
Yep.
But there will be other plans available for you.
All right, let's go ahead and Logan, we'll take a call.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Scott in Ontario, Canada. You're on the air.
Hey, Scott from Canada. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Got an international call.
Great to talk to you.
You too.
Yeah, my comment really is, it's so refreshing having a president that gets some respect when he's speaking overseas. I was listening to his message in Poland this morning and hearing the crowd chanting his name. It was just awesome. I mean, at least they pulled the ladder up to the plane to let him off. You know, I mean, we got a prime minister here who's ready to to pay Omar Khadr $10 million and give an apology after killing Americans. And
well, I mean, look, here's what you got. That was a Western civilization speech. It was well done. It was well delivered, and it was well received. And I've already given you what we think is our doctrine from that, the doctrine that will come out, which I'm going to ask that we, on our policy team, which Harry heads up, that we kind of develop that doctrine out a little bit, because I think it's really, really important. Let's grab another call if we can, Logan.
All right. Maybe yep, let's go to Natalie in Kansas City.
Hey, Natalie, go ahead.
Hi, I just want to thank you and your team for what you're doing. Sure. I really appreciate it. And my question today is that you have talked in recent months, usually it was, I think it was around the time that Sean Hannity was getting attacked,
yep,
about starting a media outlet. And I've been very much looking forward to that. I was wondering if there was a timeline for that.
Well, no, I need to say one thing. Our friend Sean Hannity weathered that storm and weathered it successfully because, A, he was not guilty of anything, and, B, he pushed back, and you got to start pushing back with the left. There's no doubt about it. But
right,
Logan, you
absolutely. This is something that's very, it's not a quick turnaround. We have studios, everything, but it's something that's going to take time. I would say just without
stay
revealing
tuned
any details, keep watching. So you never know. But yes, there are things still in the
works.
Discussions
going on every single day here.
Absolutely.
And meetings going on.
And keep watching here. You know, we've already rolled out other shows. We have your policy show
program
that comes up that ends up being our Saturday radio show. That comes up once a week. That kind of stuff will happen. So, yeah, keep tuning in, and you never know what's going to come up. You want to go to the next call?
Yeah, we may do a policy program this afternoon, actually.
All right, Natalie, thank you for calling, though. And, yes, that's still in the works. Joanne is calling in New Jersey on line 3. You're on the air.
Hey, Joanne.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yep. I was just calling because of this focus on Russia and my concern over voter fraud, even in-house. And it's like the very same people that are so harboring this Russia thing, they're responsible for Acorn and its affiliates and redistricting in
that
some
they don't
areas.
Joanne, they don't care about that. I mean, you're right. So it's, you know, instead they focus on Russia. Now, let me ask Than this, and we haven't had Than on much today, but I do want to go to Than. Than, is this Russia matter getting a lot of attention right now on Capitol Hill, or they're more pressing things like, say, North Korea?
Well, North Korea or Obamacare repeal, all of the rest. Jay, I would tell you the one thing that is probably making it get less attention on the Hill than before is the refusal to look at the person who actually could have done something about it if there was an effort to intervene in the United States election. The current president of the United States at the time, President Obama, who did have that information. So, look, Democrats are going to have a hard time pushing this further if they're not willing to look at their own president who had whatever information was available and was not able to proceed.
Yeah,
Jay, I think it'll wind down over the summer.
If you noticed, even in the fake news and the left-wing media, they don't have much to talk about anymore with Russia after that came out about President Obama, because President Obama
took no action,
which means either it was so minimal that it was not necessary or it's all made up.
Yep. Harry, give me a 30-second view on that. I mean, the President Obama's administration knowing about this and really doing nothing, to me, ends a lot of this.
Absolutely, and it's consistent with the Obama pattern of fecklessness in the face of attacks on the United States.
Yep.
His unwillingness to do anything certainly was a distinct pattern, and it's good to see a president who is willing to take action and to stand up for Western civilization once and for all.
All right, Logan, let everybody know how they can stay engaged with us, because there's a lot of things going on. And we may do that policy program this afternoon.
Yeah, we may do another show today, so follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/JaySekulow. You can also follow us all on Twitter at JaySekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, and at ACLJ. You can also subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast or download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for your Apple device, Apple TV, iPhone, iPad, and Roku.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at ACLJ.